The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, everybody, and welcome now to a brand new year in our church calendar. Welcome to the season of Advent. Can't believe it's already upon us, but once again, welcome to Advent, where this year we're going to hear our gospel reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark. I'm not sure whether you're aware or not that every year we hear a different gospel read. Last year we heard the Gospel of St. Matthew. This year, all year long, we're going to hear the Gospel according to St. Mark. So I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about St. Mark before we begin, and maybe you can remember some of these points and appreciate it just a little bit better. First of all, Mark was not one of the 12 apostles. Mark, rather, was the scribe of St. Peter and the companion of St. Peter. Acts of the Apostles tells us that Mark accompanied Peter from Jerusalem to Antioch, all the way to Rome as his scribe. So, when you hear the Gospel of Mark proclaimed, what you're hearing is the preaching of the Apostle St. Peter. The Apostle St. Peter, easily the most volatile, the most mercurial, the most emotional, the most evidently human of all the 12 apostles, and that might explain why the Gospel according to St. Mark, better than any other gospel in the Bible, captures Jesus' emotions. Now listen carefully this year, and you'll hear things from the Gospel of St. Mark, in which Jesus says things like, he sighed from the depths of his spirit and said to his apostles, "How long must I be with you? How long should I endure you?" Only Mark talks like that. Nobody shows Jesus' human face better than the Gospel of St. Mark. They say that St. Mark was the first gospel ever written. It is definitely the shortest, the densest, and the briefest of all the gospels. So, when you hear the Gospel of St. Mark proclaimed, listen up, right? Pay attention. It's very brief. And speaking of brief things you need to pay attention to, welcome to the season of Advent, ladies and gentlemen. Second shortest season in our entire church year. Advent, you know, it's false advertising. You see four candles over there? It always says there's 4 weeks of Advent. It's a lie. Advent, at its best, is 3 weeks and some change. You almost never get 4 full weeks of Advent. So you've got to pay attention. And there's a tool I'd like to give you here this evening to help you to do just that. Help you to make the most out of this Advent season, to help you to be attentive, okay? I want to give you a theme to keep in mind all through the Advent season, when you hear all the readings proclaimed. If I could think of one theme to encapsulate the whole of Advent, it would come from our second reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul said it best when he said, "God is faithful." That's your theme for the season of Advent. God is faithful. Think about that. Pray about that. Sit with that. Now, what does that mean? God is faithful. Well, if you say you believe that God is faithful, you mean to say that you believe that God keeps his promises. God does not abandon us, forget about us, ignore us, or play games with us. God does not tell lies. He is always attentive to the prayer and the cry of his little ones. That's why the prophet Isaiah in the first reading said to the Israelites in exile, he said, "God is our Father." What that means is God is faithful. Now, you and I, we're totally comfortable calling God our Father. Jesus taught us to call God our Father. But that first reading was the only time in the whole Old Testament in which God is ever called our Father. And it was said in the darkest hour in Israel's history, when they thought God had abandoned them, forgotten them, and ignored them, when they thought God had broken his promises and told lies. Prophet Isaiah said, God is our Father, which is another way of saying God keeps his promises. Now, here in the season of Advent, two promises of Jesus I ask you to keep in mind, all right? Two promises. Here's the first. Jesus Christ has promised that he's coming again. Now, I know you've heard that before. We say that every time we recite our creed, right? I swear, though, half the Catholics in the church have their minds turned off when they say those words. Because to know that Jesus Christ is coming again is the foundation of a tremendous amount of hope and sanity in a world turned inside out. You know what that means? That means God gets the last word. No matter what's going on today, God gets the last word. Because when Jesus Christ comes again, he's not coming as a little baby. He's coming as he really is. He's coming as King of Kings. He's coming as Lord of Lords. He's coming as the executor of divine justice. You can help keep your peace remembering that. The church used to remember that far more often than they do today. I'm not sure whether you're aware or not, but in the past, and by the past I mean hundreds of years ago, they always built churches such that when you prayed, we were all facing to the east. You know why Catholics used to pray facing to the east? Because of the rising sun. It was a symbol of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We were going to pray until he came back to establish peace and justice on this earth. When I was in the monastery, I used to be a monk. Like I said, I used to be a monk, but I flunked, okay? So when I was in the monastery, every single morning, and I mean the monks had done this for 1,000 years, they would pray through the darkest hours of the night until they watched the sun rise. And as a way of remembering, no matter what's going on in our lives, you can be at peace. Jesus Christ is going to come again. That's the first promise to remember. And God is faithful. Here's the second. Second, you know, it follows directly from the first. Jesus Christ has promised that you will never be tested beyond your strength. The words come from St. Paul. The promise comes from Jesus Christ. You will never be tested beyond your strength. Now, careful when thinking that and saying that. Most people say that means God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that before? That's what people always say. I know the Bible says God won't give me more than I can handle, but got some bad news for you here, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible never says God won't give you more than you can handle. It doesn't say that. It says, rather, you won't be tested beyond your strength, and there's a difference. God often gives you more than you can handle because you're only flesh and blood. But when he says that he won't be tested beyond your strength, he means that he will be your strength. He will be your strength and your grace and your power. If you are attentive, if you do your part. That's why we heard the gospel that we just heard. Jesus says to his apostles, be watchful, be alert. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Now, this is a strange gospel in which to begin the new year. Very strange. Because you know where this gospel comes from in the timeline of Jesus' life? This happens on Wednesday of Holy Week. Wednesday of Holy Week. This is the last teaching Jesus gives to his apostles before he goes into his suffering and his death. Last thing he says is, be attentive, be on the watch, don't fall asleep. Be on the watch for what? For God's presence. So you won't lose your strength. Were the apostles on the watch? How'd they do during Holy Week? Remember what happened? Yeah, they fell asleep when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They ran for the hills when Jesus was arrested, and they were nowhere to be found when Jesus was dying on the cross. They weren't watchful. And what he says to them, he hopes that we'll do better, right? He hopes that you and I will do better. So keep this in mind. We must do our part. Now, the reason why I say all this, not only because it's the beginning of a brand new year, but because there's something hanging over us at this time in our history. And it's very much like what hung over the apostles and Christ during Holy Week. I don't exaggerate when I say this, is there not like a miasmal mist, like a dense fog hanging over all of us, and I mean every day? It's in every word that you speak, it's in every word that you hear. If I could try to label this dense fog, this cloud that we're all living under, I would say that it is fear compounded by confusion. That's what we're living with. Fear compounded by confusion. Fear because nobody knows what's going to happen next. It's just the bad news after bad. It's what's going to happen tomorrow is anybody's guess. And you're always fearful when that's the case. Confusion because every institution in the world has let us down. Who do you trust anymore? Government? Media? Not the church. Everybody has let you down. So where do you turn in times of fear, times of confusion? Listen to what St. Paul said in the second reading. God is faithful. And I'm telling you, it is enough. It is enough to help you through the fear. Look through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. There's one commandment and one commandment only that is repeated so far above and beyond the others that it isn't even close. What's the most common commandment in the entire Bible? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why not be afraid? Why not? Is it because you are being guaranteed by God that you will never have to suffer any bodily or physical harm? No. God makes no such guarantee. God makes no such guarantee. Not to be afraid because when He is with us, or rather, we are with Him because He's always with us, He will be our strength. And that will be enough. Don't be afraid because fear means, you know, there's a time for fear. I get it, right? There's an hour in which you have to watch out for your safety, and fear is a good defense mechanism. But you don't want to live that way. Fear is a manner of living in which we're constantly asking, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Where's your focus when you say, what's going to happen to me? It's on yourself. God would have us turn that around in faith. Say rather, regardless of what happens to me, what does God want me to do? That's where peace begins. That's where peace begins. Now, what we want to do is make sure we do our part. We want to be attentive to the Lord and do our part. How do you do that? Three ways. First of all, pray, pray, pray. I ask people, do you pray? They say, oh, Father, I pray all the time. I say, I pray all the time. I say, good. How often? They say, maybe once or twice a day. How about 1,000 times a day? How about first thing in the morning when you wake up? The very first thing, greet the living God. Last thing you do before you go to sleep at night. And all day long, you live as though God is your constant companion. Always referencing Him, always talking to Him, always conversing with the one who knows you and loves you best. In addition to that, you set aside time for dedicated, quiet prayer in which you're not doing anything else. And if you want to know how to do that, let me make a shameless plug for the talk I'm going to give on Saturday on prayer, 9:30. Come on down. Come on down and see it. That's the first thing you need to do, to practice God's presence. Pray. Second thing, regularly and faithfully receive the sacraments, confession and the Eucharist. There's no better way to experience God's presence than actually to receive God's presence. And the third thing to do to be aware of God's presence is constantly, constantly live in repentance. People say, I don't commit any sins, Father. How could I constantly live in repentance? You want to know what? Jesus told us that not sinning is where our love with Him begins. When you love someone, you're trying to love them better and better and better. And you come to the end of the day and you say, I could have done so much better. Constantly striving to love God more and more and more. This is how we keep our attention fixed on the Lord. This is how we do it. When we're aware of God's presence, there's nothing to fear. And you got all the strength in the world. Our trouble begins when we forget. First time we ever forgot was the Garden of Eden. That's why the first sin happened. It's why every subsequent sin has ever happened. It's why Jesus Christ was abandoned by His apostles and crucified. It happened to them. Does not have to happen to us. Because the church begins every new year in the same way, reminding us that God is not finished with this world. He's coming back again at the end of time. And in the meantime, He reminds us He's coming to us every single day. and reminding us to be attentive and to be watchful. Watchful to his presence and attentive to the power of his grace. Brothers and sisters, there's no better place in all the world to begin to do that than right here, and there's no better time than right now. Amen.